We welcome Bertrand. Bertrand Billou. He will explain us how he is in the open transport community since 10 years on what is his journey.
Thanks a lot.
So, do you hear me? It's okay. So I'm not a technical guy, so I won't talk a lot of about technical stuff. So I was working first at a digital subsidiary called Canal TP, then Kizio Digital, and then OV. And it was a digital subsidiary of Keolis, and Keolis is a subsidiary of SNCF Group. So I'm part of this great organization. And we did an open source software called Navicia. I think maybe some people know. Who knows Navicia? Okay, less than Open Trip Planner. Hi, Volker. So next presentation, Volker will talk about Navicia because he's using Navicia on KDE itinerary. Now I'm working more on open data, but what is important for me is to connect the vision, the ambition of the CEO of SNCF, Jean-Pierre Farandou, because he wants to double the rail share in the mobility mix up to the 15 next year, or 10 next year, to decarbonize our trips and ensure a more sustainable and inclusive mobility. And for me, open source, open data, commons are very important to do this job quickly, easier, because it's if data, if digital resources are more open, they are more useful, usable, and used. So 10 years ago, I didn't know how it worked. It began with a little hack when I was at OV, Canal TP, with Navicia. It was the first proprietary software for 10 years. And some developers decided to do an API, because they attended a lot of hackathons, challenges, events with OpenStreetMaps also, and they wanted to share what they did with other developers. And so they did this API, but it was a hack because the directors of the firm don't know about that. And we saw that a lot of people used it because it was useful, and it was less time for them to invent all the things. And it begins like this, and with some guys, with some developers, and then we decided to open the software, because there was the open API, there was the open data sets, and now we decided to open the software because we are part of a public transport group, and we are paid with public money also. So we thought that was normal to have public code, and for general interest, for digital sovereignty empowerment, it was very important to do that. And so we opened the source code of Navicia, and with the API too. And we did a little work. So what was the benefits about the open source project? We contribute to a book called Open Models, about all these ideas that was good for us and for the community. And then we decided to build some. Well, there was the software with the documentation, but there was the API also, and what we call the Open Data Bar, because we needed a lot of open data sets from different countries. From France, from Germany, from mostly in Europe. And we did data cleansing on these data sets, so that was easier for developers to reuse the data. And with this API, we did a lot of different tools. For example, So that's the repository on GitHub. We did, for example, also a documentation with example and tips. We also we did also a forum, a chat for developers, because it was very important to connect with the community. So we did also the Navicia Playground. It's an API console also to save time for developers. And then we did also mobile SDK for mobile application to simplify the work of for developers. But one of my job that was very important, it was to organize different events. The first one was what we call the Open Routing Workshop with 10 or 15 guys, a guy from OTP, for example. And we worked on the topics all together, and then I initiate the Navicia meetup to talk with reusers of Navicia, and I decided to change the Navicia meetup and call it Open Transport Meetup. That was more general, with more different people, more different topics, not only Navicia, because when you talk about ecosystem, it's better to have a generic word. So this word was used by Peter Kolpaert in Belgium some years ago. There was a mailing list, open transport mailing list, and I decided to use it also for the meetup. And I decided to organize different meetups in Paris first, and then other French cities, even in Belgium, in London also, Brussels and London. And that's very interesting, because now in Germany, they organize their own open transport meetup also. For me, it's important to share all the these ideas in most countries with different people. So if you want to have the same initiative in Finland or other countries, don't hesitate to talk to me. So thanks a lot. If you have any question, it was very start.
Yeah. So in your experience, what has been a successful way of making private companies cooperate when providing open data? Like, we know state-operated companies, they usually end up publishing information in the open, but then you have, companies like Lyft or Bird or any of the, like the free floating services. So the question is, what's the strategy that usually you follow to try to convince them into providing?
Yeah. For example, we worked with a GAFAM, and they wanted to use data sets in Paris, Paris greater region, and we decided to use the open data sets that was the ODBL license. So we convinced them that the work we will do for them will be also in open data on Navicia. So as everybody could reuse the same data quality than them. So for me, that's very important, because it means you can work with private companies. You can have bargaining power if you are a small firm with only maybe less than 100 guys. If you explain the things and if the benefits are important for them, they can change their mind about open data or not. And so that's very important. It's difficult, because sometimes these companies are most based in US, because in France it's most of the times there are only sales, but not the guys who decide these kind of things.
It's good for me this talk, because I had a friend who has a very bad experience with SNCF,
yeah,
and used
sorry.
A bicycle. So to go to the west coast of the sea in France, so because they had no the right information, partly in the information for public, les guichets in French. So it has a connection, bad connection information between regional train information and national train information, and they have also they have only the information for the regional train and know to go to another region with another train with a high speed train of TGV and so on. So I think it's
yeah.
important also that the public information the guichet is also good for
yeah.
the people working there.
They work on national coverage because it would be easier from this kind of problem you could have in France, because you have different regions with different information systems, and so sometimes it's complicated if you go from one region to another one. The information is not all, it's not so easy sometimes.
If very short,
what would you do in the situation where a government run entity doesn't want to publish open data, because this is such a very common occurrence in our country, in Romania?
In what? Romania? If they are not in in Europe?
Oh, yes.
There is the European Union.
Yeah, because
the thing is, I'll complicate because I'm also from Romania. To comply with regulations, they publish it, but they only publish it once a year.
Okay.
So it's very outdated,
yeah.
but it's still
compliant. There is a similar thing in Brussels. To comply and publish the timetables, the real-time data is not published because
yeah.
the company has a fear to lose contact with its customers, the passengers.
Yeah.
No, they have a direct contact because they have the app. And they say, if we publish everything, people won't use our app because it may be not the best.
Yeah.
We use contacts with our customers at all, and we don't want that.
Yeah.
Can you convince them?
What I saw is when technical guys are talking with technical guys, it's better than when top managers are talking together, because they are, yeah. And the best is when technical guys work together, even if. The top managers maybe sometimes don't know it.
It's a struggle.
Thank you.
L'exemple par la preuve.